What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Retired Mosher Podcast. I am your host, James Brizuela, otherwise known as the Retired Mosher. I have a very special episode today because I have a very special guest with me today. Yeah. He is the lead singer of Dark Insanity. He is a famous YouTuber. He is an occasional actor and an occasional comedian. He is a man who wears many hats. Some call him the savior of metal. I simply tell him, Wyatt, I am rolling. Ladies and gentlemen, Wyatt Turner. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Thank you for having me on this awesome podcast.
Thank you for being my first guest. Right when I began planning this podcast, you were the first person I thought of. I was like, I'm going to have Wyatt as my first guest. I'm going to ask him, and it's going to be awesome.
I feel like we're going to have a lot of fun stories to share, as we often do.
Absolutely.
We've experienced many a metal debauchery together.
Exactly. But speaking of some debauchery, you guys played the Battle of the Bands for Vakken last night. How did that go?
Yeah, it's the Vakken Metal Battle. It's a competition to where bands from all over the country compete. The winner gets to play Vakken. It went pretty good. It was a good crowd for us. They're really interactive, cheering, loud. It was the biggest stage I've played on so far, so I was like, I have so much room to do things.
So much room for activity.
Yeah, like I'm used to playing on stage at the Doll Hut where you're crammed in like a corner. I'm like, I have a stage. There's a drum riser. But it was good. We did not make it to the next round, but it was still a very good show. We were very happy with it. I was awake for about 24 hours, and now I want to die.
Damn. Well, I mean, I'm glad you're still awake to do the podcast, so thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I had every intention of going, but I kind of went through a little bit of an episode that kept me from going, but I was supporting you in spirit. I saw Chelsea's videos, and they looked awesome. I mean, I've watched all your guys' videos. I was listening to the live recording of your guys' last show at work. I had my headphones on, and I was, like, sitting there working, and people were working, and then I'm like, yeah, in my head, I'm just hearing death metal.
You look all quiet and calm.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, just humming along.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. You won't have to suffer through that live recording soon because our EP will be released very, very soon.
Sweet.
Definitely this month, within the next couple of weeks or days.
Sweet. I'm very excited. Obviously, like I said, I've been listening to the recordings on social media, which I'm sure does not give you guys justice. But
no, it does not.
Yeah, but I mean,
I appreciate that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened. I've seen your other bands live before. I believe Disciples of Death I've seen live, but I don't remember if I've seen you sing with them live.
I don't think so, because, yeah, Disciples of Death isn't my band, it's my guitarist's other band, and they have a full-time singer, but occasionally he can't make it, he gets chased by zombies, wakes up in dumpsters, you know how death metal singers are, so sometimes I fill in for them. And the last show that we played with Dark Insanity, not yesterday, but the actual show, we did our band, and then immediately after was Disciples of Death with me on vocals, and so I was joking that I was going to play my set with one shirt and then just put on a different shirt and be like, all right, we're Disciples of Death.
You just have two shirts on, you take one off, you're like, all right, here we go.
All right. I was just turn around, put on a fake mustache and be like, we're a different band.
Yeah. It's funny that you said, like, death metal vocalist and waking up in trash cans and getting chased by zombies. And just yesterday I was looking at Instagram and I see Corpse Grinder and he's out with his family at some theme park. And it always makes me laugh because I'm like, dude, this is like the most brutal guy in heavy metal. And he's always just his favorite pastime is to just go and win stuffed animals. And it's the funniest fucking dichotomy that I've ever, like, experienced in my life, because it always makes me laugh. I'm like, he's like the biggest family man, and he loves going to the claw machines, and he's good at them. And so it'll be like, here's my new solo album that's all fucking crushing, and then it's like, here's this giant fluffy unicorn I just won.
Yeah, and he embraces both so much, like his stage name Corpse Grinder. He's like, if you don't headbang this song, I'll come out there and fucking kill you. And then he isn't ashamed at all, and his Instagram is like, I went with my kids to the Little Doll area. It was great.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes everyone like him more. No one's been like, oh, this guy is lame. Like, everyone's been like, dude, Corpse Grinder's awesome.
For real. It's so funny to me that he just, the most brutal singer ever, the biggest neck in the industry. And then it's just like, he's like just the biggest family man, and he loves getting buying stuffed animals. And then on top of that, I hear that he donates them. And I'm like, dude,
yeah.
Come on. Like, I don't know anybody that listens to metal that doesn't love Corpse Grinder. Just for first of all, his singing and then that stuff. It's like, dude, this guy's the most awesome guy ever.
That means there's got to be like a charity somewhere or some like orphanage where the kids are like, Cannibal Corpse is coming. Yay, we get toys.
Can you imagine like they have a hospital wing and it's a statue of him like with his mouth open and the neck? That would be
skull like bleeding out of it.
Dude, that would be the funniest fucking thing, and I hope that exists at some point.
There's gotta be a video of the Cannibal Corpse tour bus rolling up to like an orphanage, and just like blood comes out the door and Corpse Grinder is handing toys out.
Yeah, oh my god, that would be so great. they do like a campaign, it's like battle vests for toys or whatever. People are turning in their battle vests for toys and then donating
them.
That would
be sick. That's a really good idea.
Hey, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Cannibal Corpse to do like benefits like Metal for Tots.
Yeah, exactly. Damn, that would be so damn funny. Oh man,
I feel like that's a really good idea. Like Cannibal Corpse held like a benefit for like a children's thing with death metal bands, and you'd get like all the death metal dads like out there. That'd be really cool. Corpse Grinder, if you're listening, I know you are.
Yeah,
keep this in mind.
We gave you a good idea. A little nod to us if you do it.
Yeah.
So Suicide Silence, back when Mitch Lucker was still singing before he passed away, they did a lot of charity events like that, which I thought was funniest thing ever. But they raised a lot of money and they would just donate it. I'm like, dude, freaking metalheads are good guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, not all of them, but most of them are.
Some of them are.
Yeah, some of them are. A certain lead singer of a band named Burzum is not, but everybody else is pretty good.
What do you mean? He's still trying to fix his truck. He's gonna get it working one of these days.
I'm sure he is, so he can drive around and commit hate crimes everywhere he goes.
I heard he's coming out with some like book series, or, like some fucking pamphlet of a book or something.
Oh, jeez. just stop, dude. Just no, we don't need that. Just
the thing about him is that he is hilarious.
I mean, yeah, he says the most off the wall shit at any given time. So for like entertainment purposes, he's great. He's just a shitty human being.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hang out with him, but it makes me laugh really hard.
It's kind of like comedians and Donald Trump. They're like, that guy was absolutely shitty, but he gave us so much material. You just released your third episode of 70K, right?
Yeah, third episode is covering the port day. I film everything on the cruise like as I usually do because I knew I wanted to make a video, but I didn't want to make just one, so I was struggling. It's like, it's such a big trip, it'd feel like it'd be dumb to make one like hour half long video. People get tired of that. So I thought if I break it into chunks, it's easier for people to digest and also helps with the channel and algorithm, so wins for everybody. But dang. Yeah, so the first video was the pre-parties and then getting on the boat. Second video was the boat tour and the second day. And third was covering our port day in Dominican Republic. And then my last video on 70 will be the final day and then my final thoughts on it too.
Well, speaking of final thoughts, I mean, how was it overall? I mean, I know we've discussed this in length. Just a little backstory. Me and Wyatt actually met because of 70K.
Yeah.
I went on 70K in 2020. Well, it was the 2019 version, but they count it the next year because that's when the cruise actually takes place, in January of the following year or February. And it was a blast. But ever since then, it's been a mess.
Ever since before then, it's been a mess.
Well, right. I was going to say, it became a mess because of COVID, but then I feel it's gotten worse with the announcements.
It absolutely has.
Yeah.
Especially this last time. It started off this year surprising. It was like earliest announcements we'd gotten in a long time, and people were stoked. And then they like waited extra, extra long than normal to actually have more announcements. So they went, any good grace they started with this year, they fucking trashed.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. The cruise itself, I mean, once you're there, it's awesome. It's hard to complain about anything when you're on the boat, except the Star Lounge. The Star Lounge sucks. The port was really cool. Dominican Republic was one of the nicer ones we've been to.
Okay.
I don't remember where we went to when we were on the cruise.
We went to Haiti.
Oh, yeah. So we went to the nicer part of the islands.
Yeah. Just real quick, just to give everybody listening a context. So every year there is a heavy metal cruise called the 70,000 Tons of Metal Cruise.
Yeah.
And it is a 5-day cruise that goes to exotic locations. It ships out of Fort Lauderdale.
It was Miami this year.
Oh, Miami this year. Okay.
I booked all my shit in Fort Lauderdale. And I was like, wait, what?
Okay. So normally it leaves Fort Lauderdale, but I guess it left Miami this year. But basically, it's a 5-day cruise where like 3,000 metalheads all get on board, and there is 60 bands that play. They all play two sets, and it's absolute mayhem, and it's absolute fun.
It's me, Rob, batshit thing yeah, I've ever experienced.
Right. Me, Rob, and Enrique had heard about it for years until we finally went. And then because of that, we ended up making friends with some very awesome people, one of them being you. Hey. So, you know, anyway, the issue is Andy, who is the leader of said cruise, doesn't know how to
do anything professionally.
Right. There you go. That's the good way to say it. The announcements. So when we went, the announcements always come late, but when we went, we literally found out the last band while on the beach there. So the issue with that is that there is thousands of dollars that you must pay to do this cruise. It's a lot of money. It ends up being worth it for the most part.
Especially, we come from California. Some people come from Australia. Some people come from New Zealand.
There's a lot of international people that come from all over just to go on this cruise. And it's well worth it. Just like you said, you know, when you're on the boat, there's nothing really to complain about. But beforehand, it gets a little dicey. So
it gets fucking aggravating.
Right. So here's the weird thing. Everybody's been complaining about these announcements since the first inaugural cruise took place. And they still continue to complain because it's really that bad. But to make matters worse, Andy was like, let me do the extreme of not announcing bands or not fulfilling the entire lineup until the very start of the cruise, and then I'm gonna flip that, and instead of giving everybody a middle ground, he announced the sales would happen and some bands way too early, in my opinion. So people usually save
with
up
with not enough info,
right? So usually people save up like half a year before anything's announced, so that way they at least can put the down payment for the room, for the cabin.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, just kidding, we're gonna go on sale like a month or two after the previous cruise. And so I was like, that's not where near enough time for people to save up. So that became the complaint. And then they announced a slew of bands in the first couple months, and then nothing.
Like, and it was impressive, because it's usually like, I think 2020 or something like that, before the world ended, they didn't announce any bands until like 3 months before the cruise.
Right.
So this year they did announce some big names very early on, and everyone was like, whoa, what the fuck? Are they like getting their shit together? And no, they didn't. And it was in the last like 3 weeks, we still had almost half of the lineup unannounced.
Yeah. Maybe,
probably a little bit less than that. But we were saying people coming from different countries. So imagine, you take your one vacation of the year, you pay the expensive-ass flight, getting hotels in Miami, which is expensive as fuck.
Yeah.
Getting on this ship is expensive as fuck. And then, like, a month before, you don't know who you're going to see. You don't know what you paid for. So you're like, is this even happening? Is it going to be worth it? Is it all shit bands I won't want to see? And that can aggravate people. And then another thing is that you don't get the schedule until like you're basically on the boat now. We didn't get it until the day before.
Yeah, I was following the social media and I was like, geez.
Yeah, so two bands I really wanted to see this year were Infected Rain and Crypta.
Mm-hmm.
And both of their first sets were in the Star Lounge, which it just doesn't even count. Bands might as well not even play in there. And then their second set, which were actually, one was on the pool deck, one's in Studio B, actual good venues, were at 4:30 in the morning and 5:15 in the morning.
Whew.
And it's like, who the fuck would do that? Especially both those bands can bring a crowd. Like, they're both pretty up and coming. They're not, hey, let's give these small guys a break, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't, no matter who it is, why would you put any band on at 5 a.m. or at 4 a.m.? So that's the thing, too, is like, people pay this much money to go on a cruise to see their favorite bands. Like, oh, your favorite band's going to go on at 3 a.m. Hope you can make it.
Yeah, when we went, it was Napalm Death was on the pool deck at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then there was somebody else that was between them, and then it was like Ex Mortis at 5. So we went back to the room. We passed out for like 2 hours and got up to see Ex Mortis. And then we went back, passed out, and then Flesh God was on at like 10 in the theater. Yeah. And I was like, dude, it's crazy. Like, you don't sleep. But you sleep, like, I slept maybe like 24 hours in that entire 5 days.
That's way more than most people.
I'm exaggerating probably, but it's probably way less. But I'm saying, like, that's how little it was for the most part. Like, it was it was probably in the range of like 16 or under.
Yeah, but I definitely averaged like 3-4 hours each night. Maybe.
Right. Yeah. So
to catch Crypta at 5 a.m., as soon as Blind Guardian ended on the pool deck at 11:30, I went straight to my room and did like a Luke Skywalker Jedi trance and just like go to sleep and just got up right on time to be at the band.
Yeah, it's absolute mayhem, and you eat crappy pizza at like 4 a.m. You're drinking, well, you're not drinking right now, but we were drinking like madmen, and it was just,
yeah.
it was fun. But yeah, so the thing that bothers me about it, because it always feels like it's like Coachella. People buy Coachella tickets a year in advance and they don't even know who's playing. And I think that's the most ridiculous thing, because that's already like $1,000.
Yeah.
And so this cruise, we paid, I want to say each week with the flight, the hotel beforehand, all of that, I want to say we paid about $2,500 each.
Yeah,
so it's a lot of money to not know who's playing. And the year that we went, I felt was pretty stacked. But this past year, like
everyone this year was like, yeah, I'm having a great time. Lineup isn't really that great.
It wasn't. Like, to me, it wasn't. Like, the latter half, we kept sending each other DMs of the bands. I was like, who the fuck are these bands?
Yeah.
and
that's the thing, too. Like, you don't want to spend that much money and be like, it's a bunch of bands I either don't know or like don't really care about seeing that much.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel the lineup was like more than half of it was kind of a bummer. So
I had a lot of downtime this year.
Yeah, which sucks, because when we went in 2020 or 2019, you know, the 2020 is when we sailed, there was like no downtime. It was like band after band. And it was a blast. But yeah, so I've always wanted to go back, and I told Natalie about it, and she was like, yeah, you know, that sounds fun. But it's just, I don't know. I'm at the point where I don't want to spend that much money unless I fully know the lineup beforehand.
Exactly.
Or at least 75% of the lineup beforehand, because it's a big commitment to take the time off, to go spend the extra money, to do the beach party and all that jazz, for it to be like a really weak lineup. And really, right. I'm kind of on the fence, though, because like I said before, it's you meet a lot of great people, and it is a life-changing experience. If you're a metalhead that has never, you never really knew how to make other metalhead friends other than being at shows, this is the place to do it, because I know people all over the world now that I still talk to.
From
3 years ago. So it's cool. Like, it was funny enough, it was me, Rob, and Enrique that were always at metal shows together. After 70K in 2020, dude, we know so many more people that are at shows.
Yeah. Now. And you see everybody wearing the 70K shirts, and you're like,
yeah, exactly. So it becomes like a very big dysfunctional family, but
yeah, it absolutely does.
It's just a lot of money, but you know, I'm glad you had fun, and everybody seemed like they did have a blast. Which, again, I know that it is, even if the lineup kind of sucks, it's worth it to go, because you get to meet a bunch of people that you become lifelong friends with, basically. And
the people make it 100%.
Exactly. Yeah, and you get to go to an exotic location. Like, we've never been to Haiti. Funny enough, we woke up that morning, we got on the island. I forgot the name of the island that it was called in Haiti, but it was me.
It's called Haiti.
Yeah, okay, I don't know. It might just be Haiti, but I thought it was a specific place. Anyway, that's not the point. We woke up, we went to get breakfast, we did the buffet, and then we got off the ship. Yeah. So we get to the island, we get to the beach, and they have these rum drinks that they were selling.
Oh, yeah, I had one of those.
Dude. They were so fucking strong. Like, I killed one of them, and I was already drunk. And then I got another one. And so we met this guy named Marcy from Hungary, but he lives in England. So we ended up hanging out with him quite a bit on that cruise. And so he found us, and he's like, hey, I'm like, I'm gonna hang out with you guys. We're like, yeah, you know, come on. So we were drunk on the beach, and then we see this cart roller coaster thing, and it was so fucking sketchy.
I went on that.
Yes. So... He was like, you want to do it? And I was so drunk at that point, I was like, sure. But I was like, this is how I die. And yeah,
I went the fastest I could in that thing. And it was like, we might die on this thing.
Dude, for real. So like, I sit down in it, and they give you, it's like this little rickety, like bobsled cart.
A rickety one.
And they give you, there's a handle, and either you push it forward to go really fast, or you pull back not to go fast. And they click you up. It clicks up like a normal roller coaster, and then you're just going. And
you're going down like a mountain through a jungle.
Yeah, yeah. And it's scary, and like, yeah, you're literally like, you're. It was fast for what it was, and you're going through a jungle, up above it, down below it, and I was so drunk at this point, I was like, well, if this is how I die, it's gonna be a cool story.
Like, it's one of those moments where you have to just accept it and be like, whatever happens, happens.
Exactly, but yeah, it was crazy, but I mean, yeah, it was a blast. Again, it was life changing, and I've always wanted to go back, but it hasn't really lined up for us. And
well, I really want to do the fucking. Lamb of God cruise that's happening now, because it's cheaper in 70K, and it has mm-hmm. like Lamb of God, Death Clock, Testament.
Yeah.
And especially it happens during Halloween. And you know, on 70K, people always dress up like, that'd be so fucking cool to be on a metal cruise ship on Halloween. That sounds sick.
Right.
So I'm hoping to check that one out. I like the idea of more metal cruises coming out there, obviously.
Yeah, I remember the first year it got announced, we were like, whoa, the lineup was pretty good.
It was.
And it's still good. And I'm like, damn. But it just kind of hasn't really like lined up for us to do that because we've just been going on trips. Regular trips, which I feel is just better because it's obviously a lot less maintenance and it's just us going. And like, we went to Ireland last year. We're going to go to Japan this year. We're planning on going to Germany next year. So, you know, that's where the money's going and the time off. I'm like, I'd rather just do that. Unless, of course, 70K comes out with the full lineup and it's like too hard to miss, then I'm like, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same for me. When I first started going to festivals, I like always had to go to one and like no matter what. And now I can see lineups and be like, nah, it's all right. I wouldn't fly for that. Or
yeah. I mean, and like I said, the latter half of the bands that got announced, I was like, Jesus, who the fuck are these people? But yeah. I mean, the good thing is like 2020, there was a lot of bands I didn't know either. And I ended up just looking them up and a lot of them were great. And we saw a lot of them.
That's something I really like about the cruise is that it's super easy to just like, oh, I have an hour to kill. Someone's playing. Let's just go see how they are. And then if they suck, you can just turn around and walk away. But I have discovered a lot of really good bands by just wandering in and be like, who's on? Let's go see what they're like.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is something I think what you're supposed to do. I mean, we did that at Milwaukee. Like, we saw that band Phobophilic or whatever the hell they were called.
Oh yeah, they're good.
Yeah, and they were just a really cool death metal band that neither of us had ever heard of, and I was like, whoa, this band crushes.
Was great. I'm fucking excited, man.
Yeah, see, I was gonna say, speaking of which, Milwaukee, they brought it back. It was an old festival that started in, I believe, in the late 80s, and It went on until the early 2000s, and then they canceled it. They stopped doing it. And then Jamie Josta brought it back, which we're huge fans of around here. Just kidding.
I'm a huge fan of what he does for the scene and for bands. I personally am not a fan of his music, but I greatly respect what he does for bands and the metal scene.
I will give him a hat tip for Milwaukee, and that's all I'm giving him a hat tip for. But
and I hate to correct you, but it's actually pronounced Milwaukee.
Oh, excuse me, Milwaukee for land of the people. But no, they brought it back last year, and the lineup was stacked, and it was absolutely amazing, fun festival. It's 3 days, well, 4 days if you count the like pre-party. But we all stayed together in an Airbnb. Milwaukee's mega cheap; it's not an expensive area at all, and we had an absolute blast. And we're going back this year.
I really liked that festival. It was easy to get around and stay at. Like, I always tell people, it could be as exhausting or as easy as you wanted it to be.
Yeah,
like you weren't hiking for hours. You weren't exhausted. You could just chill and watch the bands, or you could go ape.
Yeah, definitely. And last year we got the balcony seats because, you know, we're old. And as this podcast indicates, I'm retired. So it's, you
got the balcony seats. I got photo pass. I could go.
That's right. You can go anywhere you wanted. You got photo pass because of your YouTube channel. We bought the balcony seats because we're old. We want to sit down. I mean, not that the big theater is huge. It's massive. You could sit in the back if you wanted to, but it was cool having the balcony seats because we were laughing and imitating Waldorf. And I forgot the other guy's name from the Muppets.
Yeah, we totally were.
We're like, boo. Oh, this band sucks. Oh.
That was great because we could all just hang out there and like we could chat if we wanted to. We could all like drink and whatever.
Yeah,
that was super cool. And then with the photo pass, like I could be hanging out there with you guys, and it's like, oh, the band's starting. I can just go walk down and go right in front of the stage.
Yeah, and it was great. Like we need those breaks. Like I because of my back and everything, I can't be on my feet for a very long time because it starts to hurt. So it's good to, like, we bought the balcony again this year because I was like, I need that. And it was fun to be able to just chill there and watch bands from up high instead of being down on the floor. And even if you sit in the back, you may not be able to see the stage as well, maybe.
They didn't even have any seats in, the floor, I mean.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's a very compact festival. Like, the stages are so close, up and down the stairs, and that's it.
Yeah,
you're there.
That was great.
So again, yeah, we're going back. We got another Airbnb. It's going to be, it's exciting. There's a lot of really good bands again this year.
I was going to ask, what do you think of the lineup this year?
I love it. Enrique doesn't want to go because he said it's not a good lineup. And I was like, dude, you're tripping. Like, I like a lot of the bands that are playing. So, I mean, that's just me. There is a lot there is too much power metal in my opinion, but I do like the lineup. I'm like, all right.
One power metal band is too much for you.
I mean, it really is, but I mean, no, but there's a lot, dude. There's like a lot of power metal. And I was like, okay.
There was a very surprising amount where I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I was like, okay, can we ease up on that and put a little bit more thrash? Like,
well, especially when last year when we went, it was mostly like death thrash.
It
like
was
extreme stuff. So seeing like a big chunk of power metal this year was like, whoa, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of good shit, dude. Like, freaking Symphony X is cool. I mean, I like them. I've never seen them. I would say Friday is probably, like, the weaker of the days, for me, at least. I mean, it's got, you know, Havoc and Night Demon's cool, Incantation, Destruction, stuff like that. Autopsy is going to be cool, but then, like, Saturday and Sunday, I feel are pretty stacked. Like,
yeah.
Testament, Municipal Waste, Deicide, Possessed, dude, Death to All. Like, I'm really excited about the Death to All sets.
That's going
to
be cool. That's going to be
really cool. Yeah, there's a lot of really good bands. I haven't listened to them yet, but I keep seeing their name and it makes me laugh every time. Belushi Speedball.
Yeah, they've been getting around lately. I think they have a new record coming out.
But. Yeah, I was like, who is this band? I was like, that's a great name. Like, I don't know who this is.
Yeah,
it's really
funny. Yeah, I haven't listened to them yet either, but.
There goes a nice motorcycle ruining the podcast. Thank you, sir. But I'm excited mostly because In Flames is playing, so I'm a big In Flames fan. And then Gate Creeper is going to be there, and Creeping Death, and they're all on the same day, so I'm excited for that.
It's going to be fucking nuts. I think Miss Voice is that same day.
No, that's Saturday, actually. Sunday is Slaughter to Prevail, Avatar, In Flames, Death to All, their other set. I Am Morbid, which is cool. Yeah, Gate Creeper, Exhumed, freaking Casket Robbery, Creeping Death. Like, it's a really good day, Sunday.
Yeah, that's slamming.
Oh, Skeletal Remains is going to be there Sunday as well. Like, it's Sunday, it feels like more death metal than the other days.
It's more, like, kind of grimy, too. I feel like Slaughter to Prevail headlining makes it, like.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's I'm super excited. It was a great festival last time, and it's gonna be a great festival this time again. Like, we're very excited to go to this one.
Yeah, I'm stoked for it. It was a really good experience last time. It was a good lineup, and like we were saying, easy to get around. But still, like, it had the metal market, had all underground stuff. Prices were legit too. Like, festival shirts, I think, were like $20 or $25.
Yeah, and then they also have their own shopping area where everybody was selling like CDs and vinyls and other shirts.
Yeah.
And like, they had the Jeffrey Dahmer I Survived Milwaukee Metal Fest shirt that I got from
Apple. Gonna say, it's right next to Jeffrey Dahmer's place too.
Yeah. So the hotel where he killed somebody is adjacent to the venue, and then like around the way is the actual where his apartment was. We visited both.
That shit was hilarious. We went there, and it was us, and then some other people were there who weren't metal but were just normal people, but, and no one was really like talking, but everyone's like taking pictures and chuckling to themselves, and I just go yeah, we're all really good people, and everyone just started laughing.
So what was funny is when we got out of the Uber, there was an older couple, and one of the woman was biting on the guy's arm, and they took a picture, and we thought it was the funniest thing. And so me and Natalie recreated that, and then she posted that on, I believe it was her TikTok. Some girl got all mad. She's like, this is disrespectful to the victims. And I was like, first time on the internet.
I think I posted a picture of the lot of where his apartment was or something, and someone commented saying like, oh, it's horrible, they're still like exploiting the victims. And then the very next picture I posted was that one that said like, I Survived Milwaukee, and it had the picture
of his mugshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was our justification. I was like, hey, if the older people are doing it and they're having fun, we're gonna do it too. But yeah, so again, Milwaukee's like cheap. It's like, we're big tiki bar fans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've been in the house, you've seen our tiki bar and stuff. And so normally all the tiki bars out here, when you get a cup, it's expensive. Like, their signature cups. Like, for instance, Strongwater is a tiki bar in Anaheim. Their Medusa cup was $80 just for the cup.
Holy shit.
Right. Not even the drink inside. The drink inside with the cup, I think it was like $105.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Right. We like to collect the cups though, because some of them are really awesome looking. At the tiki bar that we went to in Milwaukee, it was $15 for the cup and the drink. I was like, dude, what? And I remember asking the waitress, I was like, how much is the cup? She was like, 15. I was like, okay, and with the drink? She was like, 15. I was like, wait. I was like, you're telling me the drink and the cup both are 15? She's like, yeah. We bought two.
Yeah. Yeah,
we bought two or three of them. I was like, we're buying these. Like, what the fuck?
That was a really cool place, too. Like, I'm not into tiki as much or anything, but it was a good spot.
It was. The food was good. The drinks were good. Like, it was. And then they had that shawarma place across the street, which was good.
Yeah, that was the first time any of us had shawarma. And, like, no, none of us were talking. We all stopped and like, this shit's really good.
I've never had shawarma before, but I've always wanted to eat shawarma.
Yeah.
Shout out to the MCU fans if you know what that's from.
Back when it was good.
Back when it was good. So we're in March. It's been a year now since you've created your YouTube channel, right?
About that, yeah, which is crazy.
It's been fast.
It feels fast and slow at the same time.
I badly wanted to bring that up because it's so crazy to me. But you're at what? How many subscribers are you at now?
I'm just under 32,000 right now.
That's crazy, dude.
I'm just under 33,000. I just checked right now.
Dude, that's so wild to me. And first of all, like, I'm fucking super proud of you for that because that's super cool. And like, just seeing the growth of it. And I remember when your first video came out, and then all of a sudden, like, you were like, dude, I'm getting traction on this. And now here we are, almost a year later, and you're almost at 33,000 subscribers. That's crazy.
I actually remember before I was making official videos, but I think I posted like a clip of me at a show or something. And I noticed that my channel had 10 subscribers, and I told you, and I was like, whoa, I have 10 subscribers. That's cool. And you responded saying, save some pussy for the rest of us.
I mean, yeah, but now it's like, dude, and then in retrospect, like, what a stupid comment. Cause I mean, dude, you're huge now. And I want to say
it's
that
really
you got recognized a lot at 70K, right?
A lot, yeah. From the pre-party up until the end of the cruise, maybe like 20 or so people came up to me, recognized me from the channel. A couple of people like took pictures. A couple of people said that my videos is what got them to want to go on the cruise in the first place.
Oh, that's really cool.
So I was like, I should be paid for that, but
yeah, really.
But yeah, it's crazy. It's been happening a lot now, like when I'm at concerts with my friend Emily, you know.
Yeah.
It's happened a couple times where someone will recognize me and come up to me, and she's just like, that's so fucking weird. And it's cool. It's really cool. It's still, obviously, I'm super grateful and excited for it. And at the same time, it's kind of that weird feeling of like, I'm just a dude. Like, what? The channel growth has just been incredible and not something I planned for at all. Because I was doing my other channel doing like film reviews and trying to grow that.
Yeah, I remember.
And that shit was so goddamn slow. It took forever, like months and months and months to get to like 500, 700 subscribers. Mm-hmm. So on the side, I wanted to start doing metal videos because I was like, I don't see videos that are like how to go to a metal festival or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just use the skills I know for YouTube in the like film reviewing department, and just it felt pretty naturally and seamless to combine with my metal knowledge. But I 100% thought that the metal channel would be my side thing I'd do like when I felt like it as a hobby, and it exploded and just completely dwarfed the other channel to where it's like it's not even worth thinking about the other channel anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, considering what I do for a living as an editor for we need clicks, and obviously like we thrive on clicks, on exposure. And yeah. I think it's because there's so obviously so many film review channels out there. Like you have to do something special to break through the noise. But versus like, you're doing heavy metal videos. Like, there's not a lot of people that do that. Like,
yeah, and that's something that a lot of people have told me. Like, there's not a lot of channels doing the stuff I do, at least, where a lot of metal channels, they can be good or interesting, but they're usually pretty kind of flat. And you'd be like, I saw this band, and they played this song, and it was good. Or, like, there's just album reviews. No one was really doing kind of, like, funny commentaries to where I was inspired by, you know, YouTubers like Critical Drinker and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to copy that, but I was thinking, like, the way that he presents it makes it fun and entertaining.
Right.
Can I do that for metal? And at the same time, it's just kind of natural. Like, how I talk about videos is how we talk.
Yeah. It's like you're talking to a friend.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. It's not like, it's really not trying. It's just me kind of just embracing all of the things I've learned from being a performer in so many different avenues, like with acting and stage performing, learning how to present, how to perform to an audience, how to write, combining that with just my metal knowledge and everything. But it kind of unknowingly, or at least I wasn't planning on it, was this niche that people weren't finding or wasn't really there, I guess. Because I get a lot of feedback from metal people saying that my channel offers like something different than a lot of the others in terms of like the way I present things or am joking about things, or the honesty is what I get from people, which I appreciate. But then I also get a lot of people who say that they're not into metal at all, but they're just really entertained by my videos and find it really funny.
I mean, that's really cool too. I think that's what you have to do to be a podcaster, to be a YouTuber and all that. Like, there's so many, it's the way of the world of content creation. And like, for instance, Natalie's niece wants to be a content creator. That's like her goal. And I'm like, well, what are you doing right now? And right. She's like, oh, nothing. And I'm like, well, why aren't you doing anything? Yeah. And she's like, well, I need to get all the equipment. I'm like, you have enough. I'm like, just go do it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
don't ever fall into that trap. I've no yeah. friends who have like, oh, I want to get into it, so I got to like build a separate room.
Yeah.
The most expensive computer and all this stuff. Like, my channel got monetized. My videos started getting like its first million views when I was working on a broken laptop where the screen was propped up against the wall.
Oh, jeez.
My video that has the biggest views, it's almost at 1 million by itself. I made when I had a broken hand and like I edited it by myself. My first videos were filmed on my phone. Like, you need the idea more than you need the equipment.
Right, exactly. And I think it's just to do it. You never know, because like you just, like you said before, you never expected this to happen and it happened. And so, and I think that, again, that's the honesty of it too. It's like, you're just kind of doing it because for the love of doing it. And then you never know if it's going to blow up or do anything. I mean, that's kind of the idea behind this podcast for me. I was like, I've been wanting to do a solo podcast for a while. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I got, the only thing I spent money on is a mic. I was like, I'm going to get a mic and I'm just going to start doing it. And like, I was laughing because I was editing episode 3 and I totally forgot that I had the freaking washer on, so I could just hear it in the background. And I was like, you know what, whatever, man, that's honesty. I'm in the office in my house and it's nothing special. I don't have, you know, any kind of way to any sound suppression. Like, we just heard a motorcycle go off. And so, and a lot of times Stella will start barking in the middle of it, and I'm just like, you know what, whatever. Just honesty. Like, I'm not in some fancy schmancy studio. Maybe I'll get there one day, but you know what, I'm just doing this because I want to do it, and it's a lot of fun to do it. So
yeah, and that's why you got to do it too. And it's if you someone wants to do content creation or any type of like art performance type of thing, it people so easily fall into you got to do what's getting attention, what everyone does. And even with YouTube too, everyone's like, you got to have the thumbnail with your big face making the reaction and, you know, all the like colorful stuff. I'm like, I hate that shit. I'm never gonna do that shit. It's kind of funny because people teach courses or classes like how to make it as a YouTuber, the things you need to do. And then a lot of it becomes so cliche and so oversaturated that it makes you not stand out at all.
Right.
So then with my videos, like, I think about how I want to present them, but in my way. I don't think about what are the other YouTubers doing in their videos that will make more attention or pop out more. I make it the product, that the content that I want it to be. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, oh, what's the current thing I need to put into it?
Yeah.
And with acting too, and I was pursuing acting, it was very much the same way, where you're taught, presented the image of what you're supposed to do as an actor to make it, and then you just become so cookie cutter and boring that you don't stand out at all.
Right. And I think that's important, is to just, I mean, sometimes you have to give in and do what the industry says, because I'm part of that. I'm part of that in my normal day-to-day job. We have to listen to certain parameters, or we have to follow certain parameters. But at the same time, you kind of just need to do things. Like, so for instance, I'm just doing my thing, writing articles, doing that. And then all of a sudden getting hit up. Like, I interviewed, one of the players on the Chargers, which it was huge for me.
Yeah.
And I just got hit up, and I might be interviewing somebody from the Lakers, which is even bigger. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just that. It's like, you know, if you just do the things and you get your name, if you get your name out there by just doing it, something's going to happen eventually. And maybe it takes a lot longer, maybe it doesn't, who knows. But
yeah,
it's about just getting out there and not, as you said, you're not falling into the pitfall of, oh, you have to have this mic and you have to have this video camera and you have to do this. And then it's like, dude, just go and do it. Like, I mean, Joe Rogan is the biggest podcast on the planet, and he started by just recording on a digital camera and handing a mic back and forth, sitting on the same couch next to people that he was talking to.
Yeah. And all of his friends were like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly.
Waste your time.
And it's funny. Like, I listened to his podcast on occasion, and he was talking about that. I forgot. I think he was talking about that with Maron, because Mark Maron was one of the first ones to do it too. Yeah. And his podcast is massive. Like, he's interviewed like everybody, even like Barack Obama. Like, yeah, which is crazy.
I heard that one.
Right. So, I mean, it's just that. It's like, dude, if you have an idea and if you have an idea, just roll with it. And you never know. You never know what's going to come of it, and just keep at it, you know?
Yeah, and the first video I made for the Metal Channel, I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'll go on 70K and people will recognize me, or I'll be playing a metal festival in Europe because of the channel or anything. No, I was just making what I thought would be an entertaining video.
Right, and then,
And rolling with it, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially that, like, dude, you guys are going to be playing in Europe this summer. Dude, that's so crazy to me because,
it's
like,
fucking nuts.
I mean, okay, so you started with the European festivals. Like, you're way more versed in it than I am. Like, 70K to me was, like, my first and only so far, like, European festival in a sense. It's not, but it is because it is because of the people that come all over to it. Like, we're outnumbered from Americans to international people. We're severely outnumbered on that cruise, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And the lineup is more
exactly.
European-centric than it is American, usually.
Exactly. And so that to me is like European. But, I mean, you've been to Wacken, you've been to all of them. And now Tolmanator this is the first year of Tolmanator, right?
It's the second year.
Last year
was the first inaugural year of it.
And the creator is the guy that did Metal Days, right?
No.
Oh, no.
Very much not. But the someone who used to work as part of the, like, company of Metal Days, but not someone who...
Okay, not... Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember reading the story, but not... I don't recall the full details.
No, this is an employee, not someone who was...
Got it.
But the dude's fucking awesome. Metal Days used to happen in Tolman, in Slovenia. It's this really beautiful nature gorge area where there's a forest, there's this river with beaches, and the festival's right there. So you can watch a band and, like, go float down the river and whatever.
That's awesome.
It's the most beautiful metal festival.
But
Metal Days got kicked out of there because they're assholes. But Tolmanator has just took its place, which I'm very happy about. Tolmanator has the sense of staying a, like, respectable size festival. I think the biggest band playing this year is Behemoth.
Yeah.
And I don't really think the lineups probably get much bigger than that. Like, maybe a bit, but I wouldn't expect, like, Iron Maiden to be playing there anytime or anything. But I was just so thrilled that there's a festival keeping that location that didn't involve the shitheads from Metal Days.
So it's the same exact location.
Yeah, and the location is entirely what Metal Days was built on in its entire selling point. Mm. So there's literally no reason to go to Metal Days anymore, especially because it's a complete scam festival now for anyone thinking about it. But Tolmanator is basically the heart and soul of what had made it cool in the first place, now organized and run by real legit people who aren't shitty scam artists. And they're very focused on helping, like, up and coming bands. One of the guys that works with Tolmanator is actually got Alien Weaponry their first festival shows and helps catapult their career, I guess you could say.
So I hope that that's what happens for you guys too, because that's awesome and exciting.
That's exactly what he told me he wants to do for us.
Well, I mean, yeah, dude, when you told me, you were like, man, like, we're going to play in Europe. And I was like, really? I was like, shit. And I mean, I just want to read some of these bands. First of all, you said the biggest band's Behemoth, but, like, this lineup is really good. So
it's really good. Even if we weren't playing it, I'm like, this is a legit lineup.
Right. Behemoth, Testament, Electric Wizard, Exodus, Dark Tranquility, Primordial, Tankard, Asphyx, Suffocation, Misery Index, Harakiri for the Sky, dude, Toxic Holocaust. This is a really, really good Jungle Rot. Really good lineup. It's a really good lineup. Necrot is going to be there, dude. Like, man,
Dark Insanity is going to be there.
There you go. Dark Insanity is going to be there. No, man, this is it's really exciting. And again, like, I'm fucking super proud of you guys. And it's I hope it does what it's supposed to do.
I hope so too. I mean, either way, no matter what, it's going to be fucking insane.
Well, yeah, you guys are playing like. You're playing Battle of Bands for Wacken, and now you're gonna be at a legit European festival. That's fucking cool, dude.
And the cool thing is that the way they're doing it, the stage we're gonna be on is on the fucking beach. So
it used to be
there's two beaches. One you can, like, float down the river to the other main one, and that main one used to be its own area that was, like, maybe a walk or a couple seconds away from a stage, but now the stage is going to be on the beach where we're playing.
Dude, that's so cool. I mean, it's very reminiscent of when we went to Psycho and we got to watch Cannibal Corpse play in the water. They weren't in the water. We were in the water, but they were on a very high stage above the water because obviously it's electrical equipment. But it was so fun being able to pit in water.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, and
Remember the I forget his name, but the guy with the giant dildo who goes to
Antoine.
Antoine, yeah. So, for people listening, Antoine brings a giant dildo on 70,000 tons.
It's huge.
Psycho. It's huge. He swings it around. He put it down the middle of the pit, and we were all, like, bowing to it at Psycho. But at the pre-party at 70K this year, he comes up to me, and he goes, "Hey, dude, I'm a big fan of your videos." And I go, "Dude, I'm a big fan of your giant dildo."
So, funny enough, when we went on 70K, I saw him in every pit swinging it around. And I was like, dude, I'm going to be so mad if that thing hits me in the face. And so, I want to say it was during Flesh God, right before they came on. I'm standing there, and he walks up next to me, and he's like, "What's up, man, Antoine?" I was like, "What's up, James?" And I was like, I just looked at the dildo, and I was like, "All right." He's like, "Do you fear it?" I was like, "No." But I was like, "I don't, but please don't hit me in the face with that thing." And he was like, "Fair enough."
It's like, I respect it. I just don't want it near me.
Yeah, I just don't want to get hit in the face with it, because it's mainly because it's huge, and that would fucking hurt. Not because...
If he wanted to, like, really swing it, that would hurt.
Dude, he was swinging it. Like, I'm telling you, I'm saying this, if anybody got hit with that thing, it would hurt. It has nothing to do with, you know, any kind of, like, being a homophobe and a dick in my face kind of a thing. Not at all. I just don't. Yeah. That thing is so big, and it's solid rubber. You get hit in the face with that, dude, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
Especially if you weren't expecting it, you're just watching a band just get hit in the face.
You're just in the pit, all of a sudden, bam, you get hit like right across the jaw with this giant fucking rubber just dick.
Cock slapped
and you get exactly. Out. Like, and I'd be like, "Oh God, did he knock the tooth out?"
Yeah, that shit was hilarious.
But yeah, that's awesome. Isn't Metal Days the one you told me that has the Francis Connor on tap everywhere, or no?
That's Wacken, because Wacken is Germany. So yeah, Wacken, they have two beers on tap. They have Beck's, for any pussies out there, but then they have Franziskaner Connor, which was my favorite beer. And that's actually how I discovered Franziskaner Connor, was at Wacken.
Yeah.
And you get the fucking, 2 liter mug you can refill.
That's awesome. That's dangerous for me, because that's also my favorite beer. Like, I tried Franziskaner. Franziskaner, when I was like 21, they had it at, what's it called? Damn it. I'm drawing a mind blank of the bar that has all those beers on tap. What the hell?
Oh, Yard House.
Yard House, thank you. But back then, they were still importing the Dunkel, and the Dunkel was even better than the normal Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Dunkel was so good, and I tried both, and they stopped importing the Dunkel, and now they only import the Hefeweizen. So, for people that don't know, all of the normal Hefeweizens, the Bavarian style, it's not orange-flavored. It's not like Blue Moon. That's fake. That's crap.
Yeah, that's crap.
If you wanted a real Hefeweizen, an actual one where it comes from, you drink something like Franziskaner. It has more of a banana tint to it. It's fucking spectacular. Funny enough, so we've been trying to find a bar that has it on tap, because they have it at Worst Cooch in LA, which we've been to. They have it on tap. They have it on tap there, but we found out there's a freaking bar down the street from our house that has it on tap. And I was so mad. We walked in there.
Discover it now.
Dude, we've been here for 2.5 years, and we barely found out that they have it on tap. And we went there to go, because they have these crazy, like, happy hour deals, like, every single day. Like, the food and the beer is so cheap. So we're just going to go there if we don't feel like cooking anything at the house. We walk in, they have Franziskaner, and I was like, no way. So I asked the bartender, I was like, "Hey, excuse me, how long have you had Franziskaner on tap?" She's like, "Oh, let's see, we've been at this location like 10 years. I was like, "Get the fuck out of here."
You're like, "Fuck you."
10 years, dude, they've had it on tap, and we didn't even know. And I was like, God. So now, I know. And so Sundays, it's like 40% off of food and like 60% off of the tap beer. So we're like, we're just going now to go drink.
I'll be there every single time.
Basically. It's such a good beer. It's so good.
I don't drink anymore, but God, that was my favorite for a very, very long time.
Yeah. More for me. But yeah, it's funny enough. So I was just talking to you before we started recording. We're going to be throwing a St. Patty's Day party. We were trying to get a Franziskaner keg. But it's expensive, and it's a kind of a pain in the ass. So
seems like it'd be difficult.
Right. So there's only one store that carries it, because usually BevMo used to have it, but they don't have it available. And I don't know. I haven't called to ask if I could order it. But so when I found a store, but it's in Hawthorne. Hawthorne is far as shit from here. Mm-hmm. And it was already going to be like 350 bucks to get it delivered. And yeah, so I emailed the place, and then the guy called me and he's like, yeah, I can get you it. He's like, but he's like, you need a jockey box. So a jockey box is a rentable, like, kegerator, if you will.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he said, that's the only way that it's supposed to be. You can't just do a tap. And I was like, oh, okay. But it was going to be another like $75 to deliver all that and then to get it back. And I was like, dude, so it was going to, it was all in all with all the rental prices, it was going to be like $500. And I was like, nah, that's all right.
That's but way too much.
Right? I know. But we were so close because I was like, dude, we want everybody to be here at like 11 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have pizza. We're just going to start all day.
Gunners go, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just a pain in the ass. So I was a little bummed out because I thought all you needed was just the keg and then the European tap. But I guess it's a whole thing. And I mean, it is probably because it's a little bit more of a temperamental beer. It's imported and you have to take care of it. You can't just, you know, have it, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it's not like just shitty American beer. You can just sit in the corner.
Right. And we have the fridge outside too, so we can just clear out the bottom of it and put the keg in like we did for my graduation. That was a hope, but yeah, it's just too... If that place were any closer, I would consider it more.
Yeah, I'm sure. See, you gotta be like Vakin, where they have literal pipes under the ground that funnel in the front of the
water. I can't imagine how good it is too. Oh, I can't imagine how tasty it is out there. Because it's like straight from the source. Like,
yeah, it really is. It's so good.
Yeah, so it's the same thing with Guinness in Ireland. Like, Guinness out there is so different. It doesn't
even... Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Dude, I've heard that for years, right? And then we finally went and experienced it. And I was like, oh my God. So out there, it's got this very like silky, kind of almost dessert-y type of taste to it. It doesn't have that bitterness. It doesn't have that bite. And so we talked to a lot of the bartenders out there. First and foremost, you have to take a special class to even learn how to pour it. Because it's not, as you said, it's not a shitty American beer where you just pour it and you're good to go. Like, you have to pour 75% of it.
There's
artwork to it. Yes, dude. It's like, you have to pour like 75% of it, let it sit there, and then pour the rest of it. And even then, you let it sit until it like clears all the way to the top, and it's so good. It's so different. And funny enough, we were talking to the locals out there, and he was like, yeah, you have to find a pub that does a good pour. And then we started going to different pubs, and everybody has a different pour. And when you find the right one, dude, it's so good. But they also told us, yeah, it's like, because sometimes if a person doesn't pay attention to it like they're supposed to, it could end up being a pour that's a little off, and you will get that bite and it won't be as smooth as it normally is. And I also asked, I was like, oh, so I wonder, why does it not taste that way in America? And it's because, he's like, oh, because it's a stout, it doesn't travel well. So no matter what, even though it's imported, though it's imported, and then people still, they're trained to pour it the European way, the Irish way, it doesn't come out tasting like that because it's just not a well-traveled beer. And I was like, damn, yeah, because they have to ship it, you know.
So it's just gonna like sit for a while.
Exactly. And so I was like, damn, like, you know, that's why it's so much different tasting it out there. Even people that don't like it here, I guarantee if you had it in Ireland, it would change your mind completely about it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
And so I can't even imagine what Francis Connor tastes like on tap from the source, dude. Like,
it tastes like heaven, especially if you're at Vakin watching bands.
Oh my God.
I remember I was fucking trashed off Francis Connor, and UDO was playing Balls of the Wall, and I'm just like lumping over myself like, ah!
I can't imagine, dude, especially because all the amazing bands that play at Vakin already. And I was like, dude, to be trashed on Francis Connor and have a big freaking tankard, I'm just refilling up, like, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it's great.
I like Francis Connor too much to be able to have it that easily.
That accessible.
Yeah, exactly. And you said it was only like, it's only like a few dollars, right?
I mean, last time I was there, but that was like over 10 years ago now.
So. Okay, I mean, yeah, inflation, but I don't know. Is inflation as bad in Europe as it is out here? I highly doubt it.
I'm sure there's a bit, but it's certainly not California, LA prices.
Oh, dude, and again, going back to Ireland, most of the pubs, most of them, it was $6 or under for a Guinness.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, we found one that was like $4.75. It was...
I'm trying to think of how much the Guinness is at the Irish pub in Vegas compared to that.
Oh, it's easily like $9-$10. Easy.
Yeah.
I mean, the Irish coffee that I had, it's whiskey, the Baileys, and then Guinness, that alone was $15.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's got whiskey in it too, but still.
That is the best place in that whole like Mandalay Bay area, though, that little Irish pub.
Dude, and we went, you know, that's how I got introduced to it when we went.
Yeah.
And also, going back to Ireland, the traditional Irish breakfast is the reason why we we fell in love with it there, and that Irish pub in the Mandalay Bay has a very, very accurate and very good Irish breakfast.
Yeah, they did. It was very, that was the best deal in the whole place, because for a pretty good price and a lot of food.
Yeah, it's a huge portion, but we had it because I kept seeing it, you know, with talking about Ireland, and I was like, when we get there, I don't want anything else except for Irish breakfast in the morning.
And oh, yeah.
We went to this pub. We found this random pub, and we had one, and I was like, oh, my God. It was so much food, and it was so delicious. And literally every single place we went to in the morning, we're like, they have to have Irish breakfast, and I had it every day. We were there for 9 days, and I had it every single morning.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, dude, and, it's so good.
In Europe, when I've gone to Hellfest or Wacken, I've sometimes taken the bus from London, and you have to go over the English Channel, so you go on a ferry. It's like a couple hours long. It's kind of like 70K, you know, but not obviously not shows and anything. It's more just like the mall portion of it. But they had English breakfast there, and now that became something I look forward to each time. We're like, we get to the English Channel, I'm getting fucking breakfast.
Dude, it's so good. Like, and even though it sounds disgusting, like the blood pudding is like one of my favorite things ever. And I know a lot of people are like, ew, when they hear that, they're like, that's gross. Like, I don't want that.
All the Europeans love that shit.
I love that shit. I mean, it might be because I have a lot of European heritage. The first time I had it, I was like, this is amazing. And dude, like, it comes with the baked beans, the fries, the bread and blood pudding, the ham, the eggs, the toast. Like, dude, it's just it's a really hearty meal, and it's very good.
And it will last you too. Like other spots in Vegas, you'll pay like $15 for breakfast, and it'll just be the shit.
Yeah, it'll just be like eggs and bacon and toast and standard shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, eating the traditional Irish breakfast, like you're full until like late lunch. You're like, okay, cool, now I can eat.
Yeah, and it's in Vegas, it's rare to get a meal unless you pay quite a lot.
No, for real. Like anywhere you go, you're gonna pay a lot of money. But that, yeah, it's like $20. We paid $20, and I was like, I made it a point. That's why I text you. I was like, yeah, we're over here at that Irish pub again.
When I was last there, me and Emily were in Vegas to see Danzig, and we went there for the Irish breakfast before driving back, and had no idea it was like during the same time as Irish rugby game.
Oh,
so we like got in there and ordered food, and then a second later, the whole place came full of rugby players at like 10 a.m. and they all are super rowdy and getting into the game. We're just like, all right.
It's funny you say that because almost the same exact thing happened when we were there. We were eating. They took us in the back room. It's the first time I've been in the very back of it. So we're sitting there eating. We hear everybody screaming. We're like, what the hell? And then they have it on TV. So I think it was Scotland. It was Scotland and somebody else, but there was a bunch of people in there and they were just going apeshit.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I wish I knew anything about rugby.
Yeah, we're both like, go guy.
Go touchdown, home run. Let's
do the ball, yeah.
Ball sports, woo!
We're going back to Vegas soon for Sick New World, I guess.
Well, I'm not, but...
Oh, you're not?
No, definitely not. That festival was absolute shit to me. Like, it was really cool seeing System of a Down. I hadn't seen them since, like, 2003. So it was, like, 20 years ago that I'd seen them initially, and I hadn't seen them in between that at all. And they were really great. Like they sold that festival for me, but having to do like the 15-minute sets for the bands I really liked was crappy. And then not being able to see like Sisters of Mercy and Cradle because of the mess up on the side stage and it being that hot, like it just wasn't fun at all. And I don't want to go back.
It was pretty shit. There's a lot of problems. The only, like, I wouldn't go back at all except that the video I made on it did really well. So it's a win-win for me. I'm like, if they either improve everything and I have a great time, or it's shitty again and I get another great video out of it. So either way.
are you going through your YouTube channel?
Oh, I mean, I'll get a ticket and just buy one or something, but I mean, I'm specifically going to make a video, but
I mean, yeah,
like, I mean, I haven't just talked with, I'm not talking to the festival or anything, I just go and do it on my own.
I mean, yeah, but you can just apply for a press pass, just do it.
I can, yeah. I've just been hesitant on the ones where like I've openly shit talked, not to say like I wouldn't still do it, but I don't want to be... I feel like it's kind of weird if I'm like, hey, I said your festival sucks, so give me free tickets.
I mean, I feel like it's fair, though. They should know. It's not like you were bad-mouthing it like really badly. You were just pointing out the downfalls of it, which they should know.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I mean, that's how they get better. And I think that's why they moved the date, because it was in June last year? When was it?
No, it was around
May. It was May.
Similar time? Yeah.
Okay. Well, regardless, like, they moved it back into April, so I'm assuming that April's a lot better for the weather, I would hope, because it was ungodly hot. Like, it was ridiculous. It was,
if they didn't have those, like, water hoses there, it would have been extremely bad.
Dude, people were falling out left and right. Like, even one of the guys that we went with had to go to the medical tent and get an IV because he was jacked up. Yeah. And, yeah, dude, he got super jacked up, and he couldn't keep his eyes open. We were like, okay, this is a problem, so we took him to the medical tent. But
that's usually a problem.
Yeah, right. But I mean, the lineup, dude, like, I'm a little jealous because I'm a Perfect Circle fan, and like, Danny Elfman was really cool live, so I'd like to see him again.
Yeah, there's interesting.
There's a lot of really good bands, but again, a lot of the bands are, I feel they're gonna have those short sets, which is gonna kind of suck. Like Fear Factory, Power Man 5000, and Static X are gonna have really short sets, I believe, which that kind of blows. But
and they'll probably get screwed on their like sounds and everything too, because the sound is so shit on the side stages.
Right. I'm also a little jealous that you can go boo Taproot to their face. I hope they have nobody there.
Taproot?
Yes.
Who's that?
The douchebag lead singer guy. Fuck, what's his name? I'm pretty sure it's Taproot. Isn't it Taproot? I'm looking this. Can you look that up, Jamie?
Jamie, pull that up.
Is it Taproot? Am I thinking of Taproot? Maybe I'm not thinking of Taproot.
Are you thinking of Trapped?
Trapped. My bad. That's what I'm thinking of. Not Taproot. Yeah. Taproot, sorry.
Taproot. They're not good enough to even get on the line.
Yeah, right. Sorry, Taproot. You guys are fine.
Sorry, I don't know who you are.
They're a 90s band. They're cool. They're, you know. It's shit that I listened to when I was younger, when I was coming up in my hard rock days.
Yeah.
But yeah, my sister was like, you guys should go. I was like, no, we're not.
You're like, no.
And then I was flabbergasted because she was like, I've never seen Slipknot. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, what do you mean you've never seen Slipknot? And she was like, I just never did. I was like, dude, I've seen them like 10 times. Some of them unintentionally seen them.
I've only seen them once, actually.
So, really? Wow.
Yeah, I only saw them in Hellfest 2019.
Wow.
So I never saw like legit lineup or anything. But I was impressed to finally see them. So I guess I'll see them at Sick New World. They're doing Aftershock too, and I'll be there for that one.
I mean, yeah, that's the bummer of it, though. That's why I told her. I was like, I don't care to see them anymore because to me, it's not Slipknot anymore.
Dude, that's what I thought. Like, a lot of these bands you see now, it's like, yeah, it's not the exciting band that's going out there to like conquer the world. It's more like a corporation that has to be filled in to generate this. It's just, that's how I feel with Slayer's reunion. I'm like, cool. So now there's like no sense of they actually want to be doing it. It's just entirely, Tom, get out there so you don't sleep on the couch this week. Carrie and Tom aren't going to talk to each other at all. It doesn't feel like, oh shit, it's the metal god Slayer, like, here to show what they got. It's like filling in a quota is what it feels like to me. And Slipknot and other Motley Crue fucking especially is like that now.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, the Slayer thing, it was fine up until Tom Araya's wife spoke out. And then I was like, all right, dude, like, man, why did you have to say anything? Because then it's like, then it makes me feel that that's what it is. It's like a cash grab.
Damn.
And I was like, dude, you could have just not said anything, and I would have been like, okay, they're coming out of retirement. Like, everybody expected this to happen. Nobody thought that they were going to stay retired forever. And I was like, dude, they're probably going to come back 10 years after the retirement and be like, hey, it's our 10-year retirement or whatever.
Yeah, we're back for a show or whatever.
Right, one show. But then the wife was like, oh, okay, so I complained until Tom Araya agreed. And I was like, dude, don't say that.
Even in her own statement, she says, like, he was done with playing until I bugged him about it. I'm like, so he just, he hasn't wanted to do this for years.
Right.
And he's just being forced up there like a prop to fucking perform.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like I said on the last episode, I feel like it's a really big slap in the face to Carrie. That's what I feel. Even if he's going to...
Yes, yes,
even,
absolutely.
Even if he's going to play with them, which I think he is, but I don't even know. I don't even know right now if he's going to play with them. But regardless if he plays with them or not, I feel like, dude, they're shitting on his announcement.
Yes.
And so we were very excited, first and foremost, to hear his first song, Idle Hands, which is a fucking ripper. It was,
yeah, it was
awesome.
Good.
And I was like,
the
dude,
new,
this is...
The new band, like the exciting lineup. It was time to see, like, what's Carrie after Slayer? Like, it's going to be him on his own presenting it. And now the excitement and buildup of that is just completely kicked over because it's Slayer the fact.
Yeah, exactly. And what would be even more exciting, so when the Lamb of God and Mastodon tour got announced, I was like, oh shit, like these are two great albums. We're going to go. And then I saw Kerry King's name. I was like, he's opening. Fuck yeah. Like, yeah, not only awesome. Is the album going to come out, but he's going to be opening already on tour. And I was like, dude, this is going to be great. And then, oh, just kidding, Slayer. Like, what? Come on.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. And I really wonder how much Kerry knew about it and how much he really is involved. Because I've noticed that I'm sure he's not a big social media guy, but he has not mentioned anything about the Slayer reunion on any of his socials. Everyone else has. All of the other members have, but he has not.
I didn't bring it up to you because I saw that, and I didn't say anything because I wanted to save it for this pod. Even more interesting than that, because yes, Kerry King, I don't believe he's a big social media guy, but even more interesting is his wife is a huge social media presence, and she posts incessantly about what he does, and she didn't post anything about it either.
Really? So,
yeah, she hasn't said anything.
I did not see that.
Yeah, and so I follow her. She's you know, she's entertaining, and she's always like, hey, like Kerry King's new album, and I'm with Kerry, and she's a very cool person. I've heard many people have met her, and she's that, like, she's very, like, very proud and happy when Slayer fans talk to her, especially about her husband, right? And she didn't even post about the reunion either. So it's a little weird. Yeah, it's a little weird.
And Kerry's obviously on press right now, promoting his album and everything. There's been no interviews of, so Slayer's back, tell me about it.
Yeah, weird.
It does feel like this was him showing, like, what he's got after Slayer, get people excited for his new thing, and then sudden Slayer announcement with, like, no warning. Obviously I don't have any info on the background, but I wonder if it was just Tom's wife called the Slayer manager. Slayer manager's like, fuck yeah, we're doing it. And Kerry's put in a position where I'm like, does he either say no and not do the reunion when he never wanted to break up in the first place? Or did he even not really have much of a say? Was there, like, so much going on that it's like, hey, Slayer's back, you're playing. And he's like, what? But
yeah.
And but then, we don't know. Like, that's all speculating.
Right. And then also, too, like, if he does say no, how much more negative publicity that's going to give his solo project? Because everyone's going to be like, oh, he's just temperamental and he's not going to do it. Or yeah, whatever the industry says or whatever fans say about it, you know?
And, like, it was pretty known that at his solo shows, he would do some Slayer material. It'd be really surprising if he didn't do any. So now it's like, Kerry's solo band would have been your chance to see Raining Blood and, like, those classics when they come out. But now it's like, there's Motley Crue and Vince Neil, and they're both doing Dr. Feelgood, and it's like, okay.
Yeah. And, well, even more interesting, too, is Kerry was interviewed about his solo project, and Idle Hands was actually a repurposed Slayer song that never made the cut for an album. Right. So it's like, was that, after he announced that and talked about that, was that the driving force then for Tom to come, or Tom to be like, okay, Slayer's coming back? But, you know, it's really oddly timed, and of course, we're just speculating here, but
it's very, like, no part of it feels like it was actually meant to happen that way, and it was like, this was the announcement they were building up or waiting for. It felt very much like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. And it was very, very lazy. I mean, obviously they're supposed to surprise people, but it's like, oh, hey, we're playing, like, Welcome to Rockville or whatever the fuck they're playing. And it was like, okay, but that was it. There wasn't, like, any kind of build up. It was just, oh, here's a,
yeah, it was just there on the lineup. There was no, like, dun dun, the big announcement,
right? Yeah, or like the when they blank out the name and everyone's trying to guess who it is. Like, if they would have done that and then be like, surprise, it's Slayer, everybody would be like, holy shit. But they didn't. It came out, the announcement of them playing a few shows came out literally like a week after Kerry King did his first interview about a solo project.
Yeah, so, literally, when he said, like, I don't talk to Tom.
Right.
Slayer's, like, done. And then Slayer's back. So that's what makes it very strange.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not happy about it. And
I'm not happy about it either, to be honest.
And, you know, we're big Slayer fans. Huge Slayer fans. And I was like, in any other situation, I would have been like, hell yeah, Slayer's back. But now I'm just like, dude, why? Why now?
But like you were saying, you would have thought that there'd be, like, some really vague website that's, like, hinting something.
And a countdown.
A countdown. You'd hear, like, the beginning of Raining Blood and be like, Slayer's back. But no, it was just a lineup came out that happened to have Slayer on it, and everyone was like, what? And they were like, yeah, we're going to play a couple shows. They were like, what?
Yeah.
And then the quote from Tom, which is just the most, like, PR-written shit I've ever heard.
I didn't even know he had a quote. Like, what is it?
on the announcement for, you know, their back or whatever, it's his quote was just saying, nothing compares to the feeling of us on stage for those 90 minutes and we have missed the audience. That's like all it said. It was the most like, I don't want to fill this in, but I have to type of thing. How depressed do you think Tom's going to look now? He was already depressed on stage.
Yeah, I want to say he's going to give it his all, but at this point, he didn't want to do it. And then with his comments from his wife, like, oh, I begged him until he said, yeah. Like, dude, do you really think he's going to go out there and give like a class A performance?
Yeah, it feels like, all right, I'll do it so the wife won't yell at me.
Right. I don't know, man. Like, it's going to be a big bummer when it's announced. Because I want to say they did announce the lineup with Kerry King, but I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
Well, that's what they've like stated, but
yeah,
it's still so suspicious. Wouldn't it be so nuts if Kerry came out and he was like, I did not approve this. We're going to court. And be like, oh, dude,
I know. And then like it just becomes this whole thing. And then if that were the case, if that happens, not that it's going to fully taint the legacy, but it's just going to make this announcement so unbelievably unnecessary and stupid.
Exactly. Like there's a thing about going out with like honor and respectable legacy. And that's what I felt. At least I kind of felt like that's what Slayer was doing when they retired. I didn't think that they would pull this shitty little trick so quickly.
Right.
But maybe I'm just stupid.
No,
but
I'm the same way, though, because I was just like, okay, yeah, I get it. They've been literally on nonstop touring for like 30 years. Yeah, I'd want to take a break, too.
Yeah, but then take a break. Don't be like, the band's over. Oh, 5 years later. Like, you could have just not even split up if you just needed a 5-year break.
I mean, that too. Be like, hey, we're going on indefinite hiatus. And then everyone's like, okay, cool. Well, at least it means they may come back at some point. Then if they would announce it, everyone would be like, oh, cool, they're back. But
right.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, it's. I would rather go out with a strong legacy than just milk it for money if nobody wanted to do it. Do you think Kerry and Tom are just going to be like complete opposite ends of the stage, don't even look at each other?
I mean, probably. I mean, probably. Especially after he said he hasn't talked to him in years. Like, obviously, I don't want, you know, speculating again. We don't know if there's bad blood there, or it's just like Tom was like, okay, I'm done and I'm really done. Like, I don't even want to talk about the band anymore, which is fair. And if that were the case, how are they going to have chemistry on stage when he's like already done, but then now he's being pushed back into it?
Yeah, like even more propped up than he wanted to be before. I highly doubt any part of this was Tom actually being like, fuck, I do want to get back out there. Like, it doesn't seem like it at all. The other week I saw Crypta at the Whiskey, and I'm fangirling over that band so hard. I love
They're
that
so
band.
Cool.
Their music is so fucking good, but also, like, the girls are full of energy. They're excited. They want to be there. They're hyping up the crowd. And I just got this sense of, like, you're seeing a band that's excited and full of energy to go out there and to fucking do it. And at this point, I'd much rather see that than a band that's propped up there just for the paycheck, because playing songs that I grew up liking, but none of them want to fucking be there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just, yeah, just the way that they've handled it and the fact that it was so close to the announcement of Kerry King's solo stuff that it just, for me, it just ruins it. Like, I'm not excited at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm not going to these festivals anyway, but even if I were, I still don't think, I don't know if I would even want to see them. I think I'd be like, nah, I'm good, and just leave, you know? Or I don't know. I mean, that's, I'm saying that now, but I probably would see them because it's Slayer. But anyway.
Like, well, yeah, so see, like, at Aftershock, if they do end up playing, there's not a major court case. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to enjoy hearing the songs, but it's not the same as being like, fuck, it's Slayer! Yeah! It's more going to be like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, because anytime they were on any kind of lineup, I was like, oh, shit, it's Slayer's headlining. Hell yeah, let's go.
But
yeah, now it just feels cheap. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's cheap and it's not exciting, and I honestly just wish they would have stayed retired. Even though, as much as I love them, like, just
if I got any sense of they actually wanted to come back because they felt the passion for it, then sure. But it very much is obviously not that.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, it's these bands that kind of feel like a corporation now, like exactly like Slipknot. Like, I feel bad for my sister. This is barely the first time she's going to see them, because I was like, dude, like, Joey died. They kicked Jay out. They kicked Craig out.
Paul
died. And then Chris has been kicked out forever. And it just feels weird now.
Yeah, exactly.
If they feel weird, like, they don't, you know, Corey Taylor and his shitty solo music. I feel like he's what he did with Stone Sour.
Yeah.
When Stone Sour came out, there was too much of a blend of both. And he did that. I think he did the same thing with his solo stuff in Slipknot. And I just, again, I'm like, dude, just, and enough is enough. Just stop. Mm-hmm. Just stop.
Just stop.
And then they keep, you know, they come out with a new album. We're like, oh, it's the heaviest thing we've released since Iowa. And then it comes out and you're like, no, it's not.
Like, and you're like, not at all.
I'm like, just stop saying that. Stop trying to compare yourself to like your glory days. It's not where you're at anymore. I was honestly very shocked and very upset that they kicked Jay out. Because I feel Jay was that youthful exuberance, well, youthful in comparison to the other members. Mm-hmm. And he brought a lot of like style with drumming. And then he's out.
That was very surprising.
Yeah. And even more so because I follow him on Instagram too, and he was like, I was surprised. They didn't even give me a warning and didn't tell me that they were doing this, that, or whatever. They just kicked me out. And I was like, damn, that's even worse. Like,
yeah, and that's so disgusting to me to be like, if they'd be like, oh, Slipknot's an amazing band. I love them. But like, imagine you're in a band for 10 years and you're not a member. You're just an employee that they can just throw away whenever. It doesn't make me want to be like, oh, this band is just full of passion and energy. Again, it feels like a corporation.
Yeah, and even I know Clown has made comments about that eventually they want the band to get to the point where they're not even in it anymore, and it's just like an Avatar band basically. Like, there's,
that's fucking stupid,
right? And he's like, yeah, there's gonna be other members, but it's still gonna be Slipknot. I'm like, no,
sorry,
it's not. Yes, like, really though.
That's fucking dumb.
And so he said that, and that's why I was like, and I feel like they're already doing that, or it's getting to that point. I was like, you're kicking everybody out that was important to the band, and now it's just like Mick, Clown, and Corey basically calling the shots. And then
if none of them were there, Slipknot would entirely be like this faceless entity of just hired guns.
And that's essentially what Clown said. I want to say it was Clown that said that. And right, that's why I was like, why even be a band at that point? Just call it quits. Like, you guys had a really good run. Obviously, if you're not mentally there anymore, because you, again, this is a band that's been on tour forever, constantly, and then releasing albums, and if your heart's not in it anymore, that's fine. You can just say that, like, hey, we want Slipknot to go out on a high note. We're ending the band on our own terms. Everybody would respect that, instead of being like, hey, we're not in the band anymore, but there's these five other dickheads nobody's ever heard of. They're Slipknot now.
Yeah, you're not gonna know who they are. They're just hired names. They're just playing songs you know, but they didn't write, and they might not even actually be playing. It might just be backing tracks.
Yeah, and it's a tribute band at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't get me started on tribute bands.
Oh, yeah. That's how, that's how I felt about Motley Crue, too. Like, I enjoyed them and had fun with them. And when they did their final tour, like, it was a really kick-ass show. And then they came back, and if I had even slightly any respect for them, it was just buried in piss after that. It was just like, this is just such a fucking embarrassment.
Yeah, I'm not a glam metal fan at all. I mean, their songs are cool, they're catchy, but I've never really cared. And then watching all the videos of Vince just not being able to sing, I definitely don't want to see this band.
Yeah, like, you should have stayed retired.
Yeah, and like, he's only gotten worse. And I saw one, and it was just, he was just mumbling. I was like, dude, what are you even doing right now? What is that? Yeah. I was like, Jesus, this is really bad.
And then they keep trying to say they don't use backing tracks. Everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, come on. Stop it. I mean, didn't they have something? Didn't Mick Mars leave and now they're in court or something with him too?
Well, yeah, they were trying to like basically rip him out of, I think, royalties or a certain amount of money.
Oh, jeez.
And then they were trying to like basically gaslight and say that, oh, he didn't understand because he's old. And he was trying to be like, no, they're fucking prick.
Yeah. And again, it's like at that point, I mean, they had a good run. They were huge. They were huge in the 80s. I mean, there's everybody still knows who they are. And it's like, dude, just retire. Like,
yeah.
Do your final LA show and just call it quits. Like,
come on. And just fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, you would imagine the royalties from that band are astronomically good. So,
right.
You know,
I mean, Vince Neil can keep affording KFC. So. It must be good.
That's what's wrong with his throat. It's just coated with KFC, KFC mashed potatoes. So that's why he keeps mumbling.
His mumbling is him just trying to chew.
Put down the KFC, Vince. You'll be all right.
You're right.
Oh, man. That's so funny. Yeah, and then it's like, and what was it, like a couple years ago or a year ago, whatever it was, and then what's his name? Tommy Lee just like showing his dick online. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great.
Yeah, he just does that. That's just Tommy Lee.
I mean, yeah, but I'm like, dude, come on. At some point, you got to be like, okay, I think my dick showing ears are behind me. Like,
yeah, like no one wants to see it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they did, I'm sure, you know, in the 80s and 90s and stuff, and maybe a little bit in the 2000s, but it's like, bro, like, come on. Like, I don't even, how old is this guy now?
It's like looking at an old painting, and you're like, I'm sure people appreciated it once.
It used to be fun to look at. Let's see, Tommy Lee, he's 61 years old. Like,
Jesus Christ.
61, dude. Like, if you're pulling your dick out at 61, come on, man, you got some huge issues.
61 being like, gas, gas, gas.
Yeah. So this is what I was bringing up to Alex Webster about emo music. I was like, here's my problem with emo music. I was like, these dudes were like 19 singing about 16-year-olds, and now they're in their 30s, and they're still singing about 16-year-olds. I'm like, it's very creepy. So
like, I got stuffed in my high school locker, and like, you're 40.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, get over it. Come on. Like, let's move past this. But yeah, it's like, dude, you get to a certain age, and it's like, come on. You know, it's time to give
like,
up.
That's at least credit I'll give to bands like Avenged Sevenfold, where it's like, yeah, we don't do that anymore. And you're like, at least you acknowledge that.
right, exactly.
I'm not saying that I'm a fan of them, but like, at least they're not trying to still look like their emo days.
No, definitely. I mean, they were shockingly really good live when we saw them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I've never been a fan. I mean, I've heard their music. It's catchy. I've never been a fan. I've never bought an album. I've never seen them live. And that was my first time, and I was like, dude, Amy Lee, she's got some fucking pipes on her.
Are you talking about Evanescence?
Evanescence, yeah, my bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I never watched them.
Yeah, but yeah.
All these high school bands.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I was joking about. The Aftershock lineup had Hawthorne Heights on it, and I was like, what the fuck?
So, funny story on that. So, they're doing that Daylist thing on Spotify, and so everybody was posting it on their Instagram stories, and I was like, what the hell is this? So, it was a setting where you just click it, and it gives you, it generates a random Daylist of music for you to listen to. And so everybody was doing it, and it had a bunch of random shit, and I was like, okay, well, let me try it. So I clicked on it, and it started playing. It auto plays. It just starts playing. It's some big playlist. Yeah. And the first fucking song is Hawthorne Heights. And I was like, whoa, wait, what the hell is this? I was like, I have never listened to Hawthorne Heights on Spotify. Why is this? Yeah, I was like, what is happening right now? So I screenshot it, and I sent it to Webster and everybody, and I was like, I think somebody hijacked my Spotify. I was like, what the fuck is this? So, but yeah, one morning.
They're just putting like emo playlists on your Spotify.
Yeah, I know. Without, she's like, this is going to be great. Because like one morning I clicked on it, and it was like Friday morning pirate metal. And it was like, yeah, and it was like Amon Amarth and a bunch of cool shit. I was like, oh, this is cool. So I started clicking it a couple days in a row. Like, let me see what's going to generate for me. Because I thought it was generating music that I was at least somewhat listening to at some point. Yeah. But then that popped up, and I was like, okay, no, this is not happening.
I tried. There was some new like AI DJ on Spotify.
Really?
Just saying like, we find like what you listen to, and we mix it with like stuff we think you'll like, and blah blah. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And it did like a couple songs that weren't bad in a row that I didn't know, and then it just went to like just normal pop music, whatever's like popular. I'm like, all right, not even fucking close.
Yeah, that's no, just no. I plan on having her on here. We're going to talk about emo music, and it's going to be it's mostly going to be me talking shit and just getting educated and telling her why I don't like it. I mean, I like some bands, but there's like 98% of it I don't like.
I'd say 100% of it I don't like.
There's some bands I have a soft spot for, yeah. But like, they're a little bit like on the heavier side, if you will, when it comes to emo music. But
they cry really hard.
They cry super hard. You have no idea how hard they cry. So actually, speaking of AI, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the story about Pestilence. And what happened with them?
Something about album artwork. It's been happening with like a lot of bands lately, but what's the whole story?
So their new album, they used AI to create it, and everybody got super pissed off at them to the point where they changed it now. And I don't really agree with that. I don't know why that's such a big issue. Like, I understand if they hired somebody to do it and then they went and did it by themselves with AI.
That would be fucked up, yeah.
Right, because then you're taking money out of that person's pocket or whatever. But to use a, I don't know. I'm on the fence about that. They literally got harassed to the point where they've changed it now.
Well, it's the similar thing happened with Unleash the Archers. They did a music video that was entirely AI, but they tried to do it in the most like ethical way they could. Like they went through some studio where they rendered, I think, some model into it. They tried to like make it not just a click a button and here it goes. But even at that, people got really pissed off and offended at them for doing it. But it was weird because I thought the video was, one, pretty good, but the song is actually about, like, kind of AI robotic taking over actual beauty and everything. So it fit perfectly with it. And I was like, I don't see a problem. And, yeah, I really don't care kind of either way, to be honest. It's when AI was first getting talked about and was coming out, I was definitely on the fence of, it needs to be stopped, it's horrible, this is like the death of the human soul. And now, I've kind of gotten to the point and actually talked with people high up in the AI industry. And it's just like, it's everywhere. It's unstoppable. It's like people with radios trying to stop TVs coming out. It's
yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same as that. It's, you don't have to like it, but it's not going anywhere. And it's already, in fact, in everything.
Yeah.
Personally, I tend to think that music videos especially, but I'll argue it for album covers too, are kind of dumb inherently.
Right.
I've never seen a music video that I considered an exquisite piece of art. Like I'm totally fine with the music video just being some AI generated, fits the story, creates a scene and like a story for the song. Most music videos are fucking dumb. So like, I personally don't really care if the band's being honest about it. If they were trying to be like, hey, no, this is not AI art, but it clearly was, then I'd have a problem with it. But if they were like, yeah, we made it with AR, I'm like, all right, I'm going to look at the album cover like once, so I don't really care.
Right. Yeah. I had conversations with AI in more than one job because it, just like you said, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere, but it's the way in which it can be used as a tool. So for instance, in writing, you can use AI to compile data. So I'm in the sports world. This AI can literally, you can type every touchdown, the yards of every touchdown in the last 10 years, and it'll find all that. And so, right, way quicker than you would be able to do if you did it by yourself. So it's a tool in which people can use. But I understand people using it to, they're cutting corners. So I understand why people get upset with that. But I don't know. I think it's silly to like badger somebody because they used it. Like, I guess the story is they used it. They hired somebody who used some AI, but not all of it. But because everybody got a whiff of it, they literally jumped down this band's throat and now they changed the album cover. And it's like, dude, like, it's funny you said that about album covers being ridiculous in nature. I just looked at the comment about the post of them changing it, and this guy commented and said, he's like, yeah, they're both pretty mid, so I don't care.
It's like, I'm never going to look at it. I don't give a fuck.
I mean, really. Like, for real, though. Like, I mean, I do like album art covers, but at the same time, I don't buy the album and then stare at that cover.
Yeah, I don't consider it a big deal at all.
No, I put on the album, and I'm like, I'm more concerned about what's on the CD or the vinyl or than I am about what the cover says. So
It's like you said, it's a tool, and once I saw it that way, it kind of really changed my perspective on it. Rather than this like scary new thing that was coming to destroy stuff, you view it as a tool in the hands of the person who uses it. Like a really smart, creative person could do some really awesome shit with AI, and a really fucking dumb idiot who wants to cut corners could do really shit crap work with AI.
Yeah.
But I viewed it like you do. Like I've had times where I'm researching a video, working on a video, and I've had ChatGPT just pull like information on this festival or like find this group of information. And then I'll even go double check that because sometimes it does get shit wrong.
Right. But, it does. Yeah. It has a limited brain. So you have to still check it.
Once I stopped viewing AI as like basically its own creator and viewing it more like Jarvis from Iron Man, where Tony's not having Jarvis create all of his technology, but he is asking it to pull up like specs and information and he's going off of that, like, that's completely fine. I don't see any issue with that. That's the same as using Goop. So
again, it's a tool that it's the natural course of things because that's just the way technology is going. But
I don't particularly like it, but I'm also, it's a fucking waste of time to be like, no,
Right, right. I'm the same way. Like, there's been, you know, plenty of controversy with it, with people using it. Like, for instance, I'm, you know, in the professional writing business and people using it to write articles, which I wholeheartedly disagree with. I'm like,
yeah, that's fucking stupid.
I'm never going to let anything do my job for me because I feel I'm better at it than a robot. What's up, robots? Come at me.
And that takes away your entire creativity. And if you don't
exactly
have creativity, what's the fucking point?
Right. But at the same time, if I can just type in, hey, find me these touchdowns for the last 10 years, I'm right. going to do it.
Yeah, so, right.
I don't know. That just.
Did I tell you I tripped up ChatGPT one time? I asked it if it was.
Are you human?
I asked it if it was biased, and it said no. All it does is, you know, find information, and it says that it finds information from certain sources, so it doesn't have a bias. And I asked it, but the person who programmed you may have put in your own bias. So how would their own bias? So how would you know if you're not pre-programmed to have a bias or not? And ChatGPT literally responded saying, "That's a really good point." I'm
dude,
not joking.
Dude, you just ex mocking the hell out of your ChatGPT, dude. You're asking it to do the Turing test and it totally failed.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn ChatGPT into like an actual like
oh my god
synthetic like being conversations with it.
You heard it here now. Wyatt Turner is the creator of Skynet. So
right.
If the robots rise up, he did it. He created it.
I was just asking it questions.
Do not give it intelligence, sir. Do not.
That was one thing. You might actually appreciate this. I've had the idea of I want to make some type of like movie that uses AI. It wouldn't be AI completely, but I want to have some type of premise of like a human speaking with an AI and have the AI character actually be AI. Like use that character's lines be made with AI, but have it be like with actual characters with actual dialogue written. And I think it might be interesting to see how that would play out. If it's not an entire movie made by AI. It's like one specific character is. And how would that affect everything else?
Yeah, I mean, if it would be interesting. Well, I mean, like, again, this is kind of like Ex Machina because it was, you know,
yeah.
the kid was trying to figure out if the AI program could pass the Turing test and believe that it was real and not
right.
Robot. But it would be interesting to see if that program could respond the proper way to like emotional cues.
Yeah.
Because if it's like a serious dramatic scene, is that robot being robotic or can it assume the emotions of a human response? Which yeah. I think would be interesting and also creepy because I wholeheartedly am afraid of AI rising up.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean that sounds it's interesting.
Yes. I'm afraid of it, but we're still gonna make it happen. We're all right. About coulda, not shoulda.
You don't wanna be sitting there and be like, man, I could have made the AI movie and it would have been great. You gotta go and do it. Like we were saying, if you want something to happen, make it happen. And if you want the robot uprising to happen, make that happen. Make it.
Skynet's not going to happen by itself. You got to get out there and you got to believe.
you got to achieve.
And that's, I was super against AI taking over like certain smaller jobs and whatever. But then you go out and deal with the public today and it's like, some of you workers should be replaced.
Yeah. I forgot. Oh, when I went to Comic-Con last year, we were walking around and we saw those Amazon robots. Dude, that shit was weird. I don't know if
Which
you've
ones?
Seen the Amazon robots. So they look like a little walking, like a little rolling shopping cart, and there's nobody piloting it, and it's an Amazon delivery thing. So I don't know how far it travels or whatever, but it delivers food and or items to people, and it's all automated.
I've seen ones in like restaurants and stuff, but
yeah it's weird. It was cruising around and it would stop, and I was like, what the shit? Like I saw them on the news, but I'd never seen it in person, and I saw it and I was like, whoa, that's weird. And I was like,
yeah.
how do you like, I don't know, like does somebody follow it in case somebody tries to rob it? Like I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be so easy to just steal.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, get a crowbar, let's get this motherfucker open.
That's when those moments you realize you live in the dystopian future now. It's no longer like a fantasy sci-fi. It's just when I went to 70K, one of the Ubers I got in, every single headrest had its own screen with like a iPad or something. And then the dashboard was all digital. And then he had his own like iPad up and everything. And I was like, we're in Fifth Element. We're in that time now.
People eye. Yep. we're inching closer to flying cars. We're getting there.
Yeah, apparently we really are.
So we were just in Vegas and the bullet train is going to be coming out
soon.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
I mean, it is. Well, actually, the first idea was Elon Musk wanted to create a tube system.
That didn't work at all.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, first and foremost, who the hell wants to test that thing? Like, you want to be the first one to get in that tube and it just launches you against the wall and you're dead?
Apparently they do have one, I think, in Vegas, but it doesn't go far. It
gets really? You,
like, from one area into, like, the Tesla building or, like, to a certain spot. But it doesn't, yeah, they were saying before you'd go from, like, L.A. to Vegas, but, like, no.
Yeah, no,
that
there's
shit didn't work at all.
Yeah, it's when they started testing the automated cars. I don't know how many of those cars killed people, and I was like, Why would you want to test that? Why would you want to be the person and be like, yeah, sure, I'll jump in a car and I'm not piloting myself and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the first person who does that. I'm not going to go into the Titanic submarine.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We'll let a couple hundred people do that first.
Right, yeah, they got to work out the kinks, and then you'll be like, okay, maybe. Like, we're planning on going to Japan, and they have the Universal Studios, they're opening the Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, cool.
Right, so it opens in the spring, so we're going to be there when it's newly open, but one of the rides, I don't know if you remember playing the cart levels in Donkey Kong Country, that's what it is, and it hops, and I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me the cart jumps? I was like, I'm not gonna test that. I don't want to be one of the people on a cart that can jump, because that's scary as shit. But
someone's gonna get decapitated on that at some point,
or it's just gonna jump and it's gonna miss the cart, and there goes the whole cart and people just hitting the freaking pavement.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe so. The ride of the Resistance at Disneyland has a system where it pulls you along. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
so
I've been on that.
Right. So I finally went on it this last year, and I was like, okay. So I understand like the motion that they talk about, but it's not really. You're not in any kind of danger, so to speak. But I wonder what the motion is for the cart jumping. Is it really jumping track?
It's probably not. It's got to be some like thing in the wall.
Right. That's what I'm assuming. I'm like, because that's scary. I'm not going to be the person to get on a cart that jumps.
Yeah, you don't want any like moment of not being operated by anything.
No, for real. And it's like, okay, well, we're just going to hope. We're going to hope that this, I want to say it's a magnetic system, but like we're going to hope this magnet does its job and doesn't malfunction and keep everybody on this track.
Right. And then like one day you'll be like, oh, everyone's dead.
Yeah, for real. Like, ooh.
It's like playing Roller Coaster Tycoon back in the day. You just
All I did was just create the carts to run into each other.
All of them, I would just launch them off the tracks.
So if anybody's, if you ever want to test if you're a psychopath or not, go play Roller Coaster Tycoon.
And
if
Sims,
you
have, those are good way to
and
test
Sims, yeah, yeah. And if you want to create a theme park full of death, you're probably a psychopath.
You should not have any type of like engineering degree.
Or maybe don't have pets. We don't know what you're going to do.
That too, yeah.
All right, man. I'm going to get you out of here. We're going to wrap up right now.
Sounds good, bro.
Thank you so much for being my first guest. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Retired Mosher podcast. This is a very long episode, and we talked about a lot of random shit, mostly about music, but then we just derailed like the Donkey Kong Country ride and went into AI.
Just killed the whole family.
That's how we end this podcast. We're just killing families with Roller Coaster Tycoon. No, but thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in to this very special episode, my very first guest. Thank you, Wyatt Turner, for being my very first guest.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. This is super fun. I'm glad to do it anytime.
Absolutely. Please give me a follow at Retired Mosher Pod on Instagram. And if you like this episode and the previous episodes, do me a huge, huge favor and give it a 5-star rating so that more people can hear this podcast and I can get more likes because I'm addicted to them like everybody else is. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, thank you guys for the support. Mr. Wyatt Turner, where can they find you?
You can find me on YouTube at Wyatt's Metal, the big popular channel. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on the platform now known as X, doing a lot of shit talking. You can find me on Twitch. I haven't uploaded anything yet there, but I'm eventually going to. That's pretty much all of my spots. And look out for my band Dark Insanity on Instagram, on Facebook. We have our EP coming out sometime this month. We're playing Tolminator. We'll play in your fucking backyard if you pay us. lots of places.
Sweet. Yeah, Jib, please go check them out because from what I've heard of the social media videos, they're pretty great. I'm counting down the days until that AP comes out. But once it does come out, I will be posting about it on the Retired Mosher Pod because we need to support everybody. There you go.
Hell yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening and stay metal.
Stay metal.
Yeah.